I'd like to begin in the book of Luke. If you would turn with me to the book of Luke. I want to read some words from Jesus here and just really what I think is some of the most profound teaching in all Scripture when it comes to a depth of heart and a depth of thought that God wants us to have. And Jesus is teaching here in Luke chapter 6. And notice with me here in verse 27. And it says, "But I say to you who hear..." And I would just ask you to join with me in a prayer right now that we would hear. Father, please give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts and minds to understand the things that you're teaching us here in your word today. Father, we desire to understand your word and to be deepened by it. And we thank you for all things in Jesus' name. Amen. So he says, "I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." I think these are just incredible verses. When you think about the whole relationship that we have here, and we have this flow down into our lives, this is you, and this is God. And we have this relationship with others in the world. And Jesus is telling us to love our enemies. He's telling us that we should do good, right? To those. Look at that again. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you, or as the Greek really means, those who are just mistreating you. Now, is that easy to do? No. Why not? Because we're in the flesh, right? Because we're in the flesh. I want you to think about that, though, for a moment. We're in the flesh, so we want to do what? What do we want to do when someone curses us? Curse back. Curse back. Okay. That was really quick on the draw on that one. Gotcha. When someone is doing evil to us, what do we want to do? When somebody's mistreating us, what do we want to do? All right, I got more bad answers than I was hoping for there, actually. Thank you for that. So we are very acquainted with ourselves. We have all this stuff that's coming at us. There can be evil, right? Cursing, mistreatment. So we have evil, we have cursing, we have mistreatment, we have enemies, we have that's against us. And that's coming toward us in our lives. And we have this thing that's coming at us, and it's wanting us to respond in the exact kind, right? Now, as long as we're responding in the kind, if what we want to do is curse when we're cursed, or we want to do bad back to somebody who's doing bad to us, or we want to think ill of somebody who's thinking ill of us, when it's dependent on what they're doing to us, who has the power in the relationship? See, one of the things that we kind of lie to ourselves about is that this shouldn't necessarily happen to us. We somehow think that people should treat us perfectly. How many of you get upset when you're mistreated? I think pretty much everybody. Why do you get upset when you're mistreated? Isn't it because you're expecting and thinking they should be treating you well? The whole expectation is a lie. What did Jesus say? Notice in verse 22, he says, "Blessed are you when men hate you and when they exclude you and they revile you." We're not thinking that those things should be happening, that we should be excluded, that we should be reviled. We don't like it when it happens to us. But I don't remember who said it, but somebody said that the reason we want to respond back in kind in a negative way when somebody is negative to us is because we're fleshly. But Christ called you out of that flesh. He called you and me to not be responding to the world, but to be responding to him. So I think there's a little lie that we need to acknowledge, and that is, we're expecting for people to treat us well, and we get upset when they don't because we think that they shouldn't do that. Nobody should be our enemy. Nobody should be evil toward us. Nobody should curse us, and that's not going to happen. And the lie is we believe that in this world, and that generally humans are fair, just, perfect, we actually hold them to a standard like God. Right? Somebody mistreats us. Somebody speaks rudely to us. Somebody doesn't do what we like. We're like, well, I would never do that. Really? How could they do that? Why would they do that? That is such the wrong thing to do. That's the wrong thing to say. That's the wrong way to be. Do you ever find yourself when somebody mistreats you, you play it in your mind? You hear somebody's talking bad about you. You hear somebody's against you. Somebody's like, well, I don't like them either, right? You have all this hurt that comes in because somehow you're expecting that they should treat you well. And then what happens is because you have that expectation, you're so ill-prepared for it that you're ready to give back in kind. That you hurt me, I hurt you. You do wrong to me, I do wrong to you. And literally, we have believed the lie that life is fair, and it ain't. That everybody's going to treat you perfectly, and they're not. And we have an expectation that this needs to be, and with that lie and that expectation, we do find ourselves in a fleshly way that can't be cured unless we acknowledge the untruth of that. Now, sometimes we trick ourselves into believing that if we treat everybody perfectly, they'll treat us perfectly too. That if we never sin against anybody, well, then we'll never have any sin back. And that because we are such good people, they shouldn't ever do anything wrong to us. Now, the fact that we can even have that as a starting point is kind of silly, right? I mean, has anybody in here not sinned yet? Okay, so we've all sinned. We all fall short of the glory of God. But what about Jesus himself? Jesus didn't sin against anybody. He treated people perfectly according to the will of his Father. Did anybody not like Jesus? Did anybody hate him? Did anybody want to see him fall? Did anybody want to see him put down? I mean, the story in the Gospels of Jesus walking on the earth is him sharing the love of God in him having people either coming to him because of that love or being strongly against him because of who he is and what he's doing. If it happened to the perfect Jesus in the perfect treatment of others, would we think it be any less toward us? Because we actually sometimes do things that deserve it, right? Sometimes we're the initiator, we're the others pushing negativity and sin towards somebody else. So part of the maturity of love is understanding that the way I behave, the way I act, can't be dependent upon other people. Jesus said, verse 27, he said, "I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who spitefully use you." So a question I believe that we need to ask is, will we let the injustice and the unfairness that comes from the evil, the cursing, the mistreatment, the enemy, will we allow that to affect us in the way that we are? See, because if you can look at this, if you can analyze what's going on in the world, if you can understand that it is to be expected that you will have people against you, even if you're doing things the right way, you then are actually in a position to deal with the reality of it. Because if every time somebody speaks ill to you, is rude to you, is inconsiderate of you, you lose it, then we've got to acknowledge that we think that it shouldn't be that way, and we're going to seek out justice. And now here's what happens in our hearts when we seek out justice, is we will go over it and over it and over it in our minds. We will try to figure out how they should have treated us. We'll come up with all the things that we should say to the person who mistreated us because we need to somehow find justice in an unjust world. But if you accept that it's unjust and it's going to be unjust, you can realize it's going to happen. Notice what Jesus said here, dropping down. He says, verse 29, if someone strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other one also. That's a difficult thing to do in the flesh. I would say that we just aren't capable of that. He says, and from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. And he says, give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. What? That's not fair. That's not just. You mean people would take from me? People would steal from me? People would hurt me? And Jesus is saying, don't hurt them back. Don't steal back from them. Don't have vengeance. Don't go after them. Don't do the thing to them that they did to you. See, isn't that really where all the lie of the flesh is? We're saying we want justice. And yet all of us are here because of an act of injustice that brought justice to every one of us. See, Jesus, there was no fairness in his death. There was no fairness in the accusation. All of it was wrong from the perspective of us looking at it. And yet through the injustice, he brought about great justice. Because there was a power that was working that was greater than all the injustice of the world. And that is the love of God. The love of God that takes away the sins of the world. The love of God by which a just God justifies those who believe in Christ Jesus. And what God is looking for us to do is to partake with him in a way of thinking and in a way of living that is so far above the things of this world that our whole mindset, our whole paradigm and the way that we view things is completely turned around to God's ways. See, we can read these verses and we can look at what is happening and say, okay, I need to do this, I need to do this, I need to do this. But do we have the point of application when it actually happens? That's the real question that's going on. And so much of it, I do believe, is because of the lies that we believe. We believe that if we love somebody, they should love us back. We believe that people should treat us fairly, that they should treat us perfectly. We believe that if we treat them well, we should be treated well. And then we build an expectation and we build a series of false expectations of life and we try to make it fair when it's not equitable, when it's not just, when it's not. And so the question is, what do you do when the reality of the world comes at you? And it comes through people. Now, God says that we love, in 1 John chapter 4, it says we love because he first loved us. And the question here is, will we do it? He says to love, do good, bless, pray for. Now, this way of God, this way of love, doing good, blessing, praying for, all of that is what's leaving us when we love somebody. Ultimately, what God did for us is he loved us. He did good to us. He blessed us. Even we see the Lord Jesus praying for us, right? The Holy Spirit, it says in Romans 8, makes intercession for us. It says that Jesus always lives to make intercession for us. Now, are we perfect? Are we in perfect submission to Jesus Christ today? Have we been living in perfect submission? But yet, what does he want to do? He wants to love us. He wants to bless us. He wants to do good to us. He wants to pray for us in this. Is Jesus dependent on our behavior to be who he is? Is God waiting to figure out what we do first? See, God is love, and he can't help but be who he is. Notice this toward the end of what we read in verse 35. He says, love your enemies. This is Luke 6, 35. Love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Do you believe that? You know, I hope you do. God is kind to the unthankful and the evil. God is asking us to be kind to the unthankful and the evil. In the flesh, it almost seems impossible to be kind to the unthankful and evil. And the reason why, in our flesh, though we are sinners, we demand justice being done to us. Humanly, we demand it. See, when Jesus says, somebody slaps you on one cheek, give the other also. If somebody takes your cloak, give another one also. If somebody takes your goods, don't even seek them back. See, that concept in our hearts, we're like, that doesn't seem right. That doesn't seem fair. That doesn't seem just. And what happens is, when evil comes in, it is so easy for us to respond not thinking about love or doing good or blessing or praying for, but what it really comes down to is, as we look at this, is this the outflow of our lives to others? Right here. Because what God is looking for is that you and I love. He is not looking necessarily for us to have justice in this world, but he is looking for us to have love in this world. Now, what Jesus was saying here was a solution to a problem that we have in our hearts. When somebody is being evil and cursing and sinning against you, and that comes against you, you basically have a choice of whose authority you're going to respond to and whose child you're going to be. I want you to realize how very basic and how very profound what Jesus is teaching here, because basically he's saying, this is going to happen to you. In this world, you are going to suffer. You are going to hurt. People are going to mistreat you. You're going to find infidelity. You're going to find unfaithfulness. You're going to find people that will steal and deceive and manipulate. You're going to find that people will be rude, be inconsiderate. Whatever it is on the list, you put it on there. Whatever sin is possible, if you live long enough, it's probably going to happen to you. In this choice, you either can make God your authority or you can make others your authority, but one of them generally is going to get dominion over you. You see, if somebody sins against me and I feel like I'm mistreated and I respond with my carnality, with my ego and pride, and I'm ready to basically give it right back, what I've literally done is I've allowed them to take authority in my life to respond in kind. Evil was the response to evil. And ultimately, in that scenario, I end up becoming evil because that's what got put on me. I took it and became the very thing I wouldn't want to be. But yet in my ego, because I'm expecting to be treated well, I wasn't ready for it. I wasn't expecting it. I didn't think anybody would hate me. I'm a nice guy. But now you did that, like, that's so unjust, that's so unfair. You're going to get the worst of me. And see, these are the lies that we tell ourselves about where we're living. Do you know that you're a sinner? that there are times where your lusts will lead to conflict, that your selfishness will lead to problems. If you know that about yourself, do you know that about others then too? How is it that we expect it of ourselves and are acquainted with it, but somehow we expect everybody around us to not be? It is one of the biggest deceptions that we face on this earth, the expectation that somehow we're always going to be well treated. In fact, it's actually kind of a form of insanity to not expect that sinners will sin and you might be affected by that sin. And you might suffer because of that sin, and you might be hurt because of that sin. This is acknowledged, but here's the thing. There's another option for authority here. What if we yield not to the authority of the world coming in and doing this wrong and trying to take a place of authority in our lives, but we allow God to take his power, and now he starts filling us, and we receive of his love. And now, what happens is when this evil and hurt and darkness and mistreatment is coming against us, what happens is love basically comes back at it, and now we focus on being who God wants us to be, and it matters not what the others are doing. That's what Jesus is teaching here. Jesus is saying, you need to see what's happening here and really where the test of your heart and mind is taking place. He's saying, will you hear me? I'm telling you, will you hear me? Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. See, any other way is the way of the world. And we don't think... We will say, well, I did that because. It's a justification. It's just like what Adam and Eve did. Well, I did it because. She gave it to me. The serpent gave it to me, tempted me. All of it based on somebody else's behavior. Do you know that you were called to be set free from the dominion of sin? Do you know that you were called to be free from the dominion of sin? But when we succumb to what the world brings to us in sin, or we succumb to ourselves, not in a spirit of love, but in a spirit of whatever is coming upon us, the world has total control in our lives. You basically have abdicated the authority of God in your life, the authority that you have to be an individual who loves, and you basically said, whatever the world's whim is what I'll be. This is the height of what deception really is when it comes to what we expect and what we feel we need. And when people start mistreating us, we basically say, I have the right to give up love. And therein lies the big problem that we face. I don't care what our theology is here in this church compared to what the theology is in another church. If we don't have this right, it doesn't really matter. There are three things that abide. You know what it says? Knowledge, that'll pass. Prophecies, they'll come and be done and they'll be over with. But three things abide: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. This is what unifies despite what another person thinks. This is what unifies despite what another person believes. Because the love that comes from God, being kind even to the unthankful and evil, comes into us so that we can receive of his love. And we start sending it out, and it becomes bigger and bigger, and this dominates the way we think. It's a very specific, intentional instruction that Jesus is giving us to tell us how to overcome the world. He is telling us how to be the change. He is telling us how we need to overcome. He is telling us how to receive of his goodness and to not let it impact us for negativity in our lives. If you need this other person who has been sinning against you to stop sinning, to stop being your enemy, to stop cursing, and even more than that, to offer their forgiveness, to basically set you free. And if your mind is going to be churning with negativity because of what wrong has been done to you, you realize you have given them all the power to hold you captive in a place of darkness. I realized this when I had been sinned against as a young man. I never got over it because I just kept thinking about the wrong that was done. It hurt, it was painful, and I would think about it. And I would go through my thinking, and then I would try to let it go, and there it would come again. And there it would come again. And there it would come again. And I felt sorrow, and I felt the consequences of it, and I felt the reality of it. But it had total hold on me. It had the power to turn me in a moment. And I realize even now there are so many ways that my heart is still so immature and still so directed by the things of this world. But God is saying, David, grow up. How long? How long will you falter between two positions and two authorities? Give your authority to others, and your happiness, your success, your peace will always be dependent on what they do and their whim. Right? Somebody speaks evil to you, you have a terrible day. Somebody's nice to you, you have a good day. Anybody ever feel that way? Think of how much of your life power and authority you're giving to people to impact your happiness, your joy, and your peace. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and kindness and faithfulness and meekness and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is a different kind of thinking, and it has no dependency on the world and what the world does. And this is what genuine maturity into Jesus Christ is about. The simplicity of Christ is found in this maturity. And most of the problems that we face in this world, in our own hearts and minds, and in our relationships with others, are based because we're not accepting the authority of God, and we are accepting the authority of others. Why do we care? Why do we place it in higher importance to us? Who should be the joy of our lives? This is what happens. Hold your place here in Luke and turn with me for a moment to 1 John chapter 4. Notice this with me in 1 John chapter 4. Notice with me in 1 John chapter 4 in verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. That's where this whole thing with the gospel starts. Do we know and believe in this love? God so loved, while we were yet sinners and enemies, Christ died for us, the ungodly. He did it in advance. He did it first. So he says, we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Now, did you hear that? God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Do you want to abide in him? And do you want to abide in love? It says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is what? As he's kind to the unthankful and the evil. As he loves, and as we already said, he has no dependency on what others do to him. See, this comes at him too. But it doesn't ever change who he is. Now, read that again. He says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. End of verse 17, because as he is, so are we in this world. The world is coming against you. If you haven't believed that, if you're expecting the world to be perfect and fair and treat you so kindly and justly, wake up. Snap out of it. You're believing a lie if that's the way you think life should be. And if that's your expectation, you've set false expectations for yourself and your day's about to get ruined. It's just a false expectation, and we walk around with this, thinking that it's all going to be so well. We're all going to be treated so well. And when we're not, we get super upset. and it wrecks our days, and that can wreck our months, and that can wreck our years because of the authority to give dominion to someone else to say, my happiness and peace is based on what they do to me. So notice what it says here. There is no fear in love, verse 18, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him, or as it really should read, the word him's not there, it just says we love because he first loved us. We love. We love because he first loved us. It's not dependent on what others are doing to God, and as a child of God, it should not be dependent what others are doing to us. Does that make sense? Do you see that? See, because one of the things that happens in life is we have a fear of letting things be unjust. Well, I've got to right that wrong. That's not right. What do you mean, turn the other cheek? What do you mean, just let the mistreatment happen? And what we see in that is a vulnerability that comes when we are unwilling to participate in the way of the world. And it does make us feel vulnerable. It makes us feel vulnerable to hurt. It makes us feel vulnerable to be around that which is lawless. All right, I'm going to ask you to hold your place here for just a second. Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 24. But notice in Matthew 24, we'll just pick this up, but I want you to read this. Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Because lawlessness abounds, the love of many grows cold. Why? Why does it grow cold? Because of fear. We're afraid to help because something bad might happen to us. We're afraid to serve because we might experience pain. We're afraid to forgive because it feels unjust, and I'm afraid of that in my life, and the vulnerability of feeling like somebody is over us. Here's another deception, my friends. We are afraid to love because we fear that somehow evil will overpower love in our lives and overpower us, when actually it is when we don't love, it is absolutely their power and authority in your life. Evil would beget evil within us. Do you see that? Here's the lie, that love makes you vulnerable. And while love can make you feel vulnerable, love is actually the most powerful thing there is. It is the authority to say, you have no hold on my life. It's the authority to say, I am not here to be a people pleaser and please you. I don't need your pleasure with me. I don't need your apology. I don't need anything from you to be who I am. And the reality is that we grow up like sheep, looking for identity in a group of people and not realizing that the identity of the sheep is found in the shepherd, not the others around us. And what we do is we take identity from what others think. Well, they loved your posts on Facebook. Oh, they love you for this. They see you in all these different ways, and you're hoping that people will like you. Will they love me? And when they critique you or they don't, your world gets wrecked because the identity that you're looking for is found in others and what they think. Love frees you from the need to find pleasure in what other people think and believe about you and what they do to you. It literally doesn't impact. God is no less godly because of the evil in this world. God is no less loving because of the darkness in this world. God doesn't do any less good or blessing because of what other people are doing. He simply isn't impacted by it because his thinking is so much higher than ours. His ways are higher than ours. And what he's saying is, as I am, you be in the world. As I am, you be in the world. And the love of God that comes upon us, the love of the Father that comes upon us, has an outward flow of love that is found in loving, blessing, doing good, and praying for through all the injustice, because it's not about the injustice. It's about you being a child of God and being under the authority of the Father and his love springing forth from you. He wants you to be an outflow like he is. He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. He loves, he blesses, he prays for, he saves, he delivers. His whole heart is for good, even for those that are not good. So we've got to let go of this thing about having justice and fairness in this world. We've got to let go of what this is that keeps us from experiencing the love of God and making him and his way the focus of our life, regardless of what others are doing. Now, it's sweet when people love you, right? Let's face it, that's a lot more fun, right? But notice what Jesus says here. Now we're going to go back to Luke. I'm still having you hold in 1 John, but we're going back to Luke 6 right now. Luke 6, notice what he says. Verse 31, and just as you want men to do to you, you do likewise to them. Now, he said that after he said, they're going to steal from you, they're going to take from you, they're going to do things against you. And he's like, don't respond in kind. He said, rather, just do as you would want people to do to you. Do you want people to love you, bless you, do good to you, and pray for you? Is that what you would want for people to be involved in your life? If it's just as you want it done for you, do it to them. That's the rule. That's the life. Now notice, he says here in verse 32, but if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners and receive as much back. Here's the general carnal thinking. I love those who love me, and I'm against those who are against me. And Jesus is saying, no. In fact, you loving those who love you got you to the rank of a sinner, because even sinners know how to do that. The real challenge is when they don't. God so loved the world. God so loved the world. See, it's his love that is changing us. It is our Father's love upon us that makes us change our thinking and behavior. And it's the authority of his love that causes us to love, because he first loved us so that we can receive of his commandments. And he's saying, now do this. Do this. The power is of the Holy Spirit, as it says in Romans 5, it sheds abroad in our hearts the love of God. That's how it comes into us. By his Spirit, his love comes into us so that we see the world not according to what they're doing, but according to what God wants. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but that the world through him might be saved. Your role and my role is the same. The same as Jesus. That we are not here to condemn the world for their sinfulness. We are here to bring them to the salvation that is found in Jesus Christ, because we love them and care for their lives. So this whole concept of what he's saying here is, what credit? But that word credit, if you have a different translation other than mine, you probably won't see that word credit there. That word credit comes from a Greek word that is found 157 times in the New Testament, and there's only 3 times it's translated credit, and it's right here in what we just read. So I want you to now think about what the word really is. Because the word is charis in the Greek. It is the word grace. What grace is it to you? See, grace is grace because it is a favor that you can bestow upon someone, just as God bestowed his grace upon you and me. He's looking for us and he's saying, what grace is that to you to love those who love you? There's no grace in that. That's just doing what a sinner can do. You're just giving back in kind. The grace is found when you give the grace and the favor because of the love of God that is within you to the one who is unworthy of it. That's the amazing thing about what God does for us that he's really wanting us to do. There's a condition here of grace for grace, forgiveness for forgiveness, mercy for mercy. It's found throughout the New Testament that he says, with the same measure that you use, it'll be measured back to you. He said, judgment is without mercy to the one who shows no mercy. He says, forgive them as I forgive those who sin against me. And he says, if you don't forgive others, you won't be forgiven. If you do forgive others, you will be forgiven. These are judgments in the scriptures as well. These are things that should be known and believed, that there is a dependency on us to have mercy, to have compassion, to have love. We can't receive of this love and then not give the love out and expect to keep receiving, but rather we submit ourselves, we humble ourselves, we ask for God's grace and forgiveness. He gives it so that we can share it. It was meant this way from the beginning. You were made to be a child of God, to be an instrument of his grace in this world and to others, that when you were sinned against and mistreated, you might bring the same grace of God to their lives that you received. But if we're saying, but they're not treating me well, we're missing the point. Do you realize there's 31,000 verses in this Bible, and God never once said, make sure to treat people just as they treat you. He's not dependent on it, and he doesn't want you dependent on it. And when you're dependent on it, you're basically saying, I give you the authority for my life. You can wreck me right now. But if you look at what God's saying, he's saying, I don't want to wreck you, I want to remake you. I want to take you and show you what love is so that you can give it to others. And I'm literally giving you direct instruction of what to do. My friends, this to love, bless, do good, and pray for, that is your recipe, the solution of what to do when you're mistreated. You know, so often we look for the clues. And you say, well, I just don't feel like loving. I don't feel like being kind to the unthankful and the evil. I don't feel like doing good to those who hate me. I don't feel it. I agree. Our flesh doesn't feel that. Our flesh wants to respond in kind. But Jesus is saying, so when you feel that, this is what I want you to do. This is how your feeling will change. This is how your life will change. And this is how you will experience the freeing power of the love of Christ. Everything else that is led by this is a dominion from this world. You're basically submitting to a lesser power than God himself. The submission of love is to be found with him. And so as lawlessness abounds, love grows cold. If your love has grown cold because of the things that have been done against you, I would ask that today would be a different day for you. I would ask us to think about how lawlessness institutionalizes us, to think in these ways of retribution and how we build up resentments and bitterness and wrath and anger in our hearts. Because we're allowing the world to have that power instead of the power that comes from God. In Romans 12, at the end of the chapter, in verse 21, and it starts in verse 9, really good reading, so I recommend Romans 12, 9 to 21. But he says, don't be overcome by evil. Overcome evil with good. He says, let your love be without hypocrisy. So don't believe the lies that somehow the world isn't going to be right for you if you allow somebody to get away with something. You're not the judge. And looking at Jesus, realize that his love actually frees you from the fear of getting hurt, because you're not looking for people to not hurt you. You know they're going to hurt you. And it also casts out the fear of people not liking you, because you already know people aren't going to like you. And you know you're not looking to avoid all the mistreatments, the unkindnesses, and the outright lawlessness, because you already know what's going to happen. Perfect love casts out fear. Lawlessness makes love grow cold. Love overcomes the lawlessness because you're not afraid of what the others can do. The voice of the gospel has been closed down when we allow what we fear people will think of us come in the way of us declaring our Lord or not. And ultimately, when you know that God loves you and you have your identity in him, you can basically say, it's your authority, God, that I want. It's your authority that makes me free. It's your authority that means I don't need you to like me. And maybe sometimes in our world that sounds a little bit cold, but the fact is, if you make your life dependent on somebody else's feelings toward you or treatment of you, you're asking to be their slave. The power of love is to care about somebody and even to have the open and honest conversations with somebody, because what love does is it changes your inner person away from the pettiness and the vengeance toward the world to a place where you're like, my whole role here under my Father is to basically share his love. That's my role. I also just want to ask you just to think about this. Don't rule your life by whether somebody has hurt you and disrespected you and thinking they're going to get away with it. That drives a lot of people to a lot of dark places. It doesn't matter. You can't control others and you can't control the past. All you can do is be where you are today and carry out the things that God wants you to do. Love actually gives you the power to confront the issues that you have with others. Not out of anger or wrath or pettiness or the flesh, but it actually gives you the ability to speak the truth in love and let the chips fall where they may. Jesus taught the truth and some didn't like what he said and they wanted to leave, and he said, okay. He let them go. Read it in John chapter 6. He let them go. We have to love people and not compromise with them or the world in trying to make them like us by being people pleasers to the point where the message is totally muddled and the truth doesn't come out. Love is not supporting a person in a sin. And sometimes when we talk to somebody in love about a sin, they will hate us. And that's okay too. But let's do it not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Not with this world's heart, but with God's heart. With a mind of salvation and what he really wants from us. I have so much more to say, but I'm not going to say it today. So you can be happy about that. I just would ask that you would meditate on this. We're coming into the time of the year when we celebrate the love that God showed to us through Jesus Christ. Just, I think, 4 or 5 weeks, we're going to be taking the Lord's Supper here together and remembering. But I would ask you to make this part of the evaluation of your heart and just do an examination and just truly ask, am I giving the authority in my life to Jesus Christ, or am I giving it to the people of this world? what's dictating my joy, what's dictating my life and the way that I live, who has the real authority in me. And when you find a person that's doing one of these things against you, remember what Jesus said. Pray for them. Bless them. I want you to think right now as we finish this time together, I want you to think of one person that you feel maybe is adversarial toward you, who hasn't been nice to you, who you find to be rude toward you, who maybe you have anything against. If you don't have anybody that you can say that about, search again, just in case. But if not, pray for somebody else. But for all of us that have say, yes, I have felt they are an adversary toward me. I have felt that they are against me. That yes, I have bad feelings toward them. I want you to lift them up in prayer before God and just tell him, I don't want them hurt. I want them to be blessed. I want them to know your love. I want them to be freed by your love. I want them to know what it is to not have to give in to the things of hate against me or against any other person. And I'd ask that you do that right now.